lasted for a whole hour. So
right. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that this time.
We don't have much in common anyhow, so if you want to play the music for people, that's fine, but you're basically entertaining a whole bigger audience than who I am.
Oh, yeah, I'm not entertaining you.
Looks like a bunch of people showed up anyway.
No, you're not. You're not.
Yeah, no, I consider you rather passive.
I'm passive.
Yeah, a bunch of people showed up, Bill? Let's see.
Yeah, I just unmuted three.
Let's see who's there. Speak.
Can you hear me, Bill?
There's Katie Thomas.
Yeah, I'm in an airport. I'm on my way home to see my sister. So it might be loud. You might have to remute me. There's a lot of noise in the background.
Right. So what are you interested in?
I can't believe you've been up this whole time. That's crazy. And I haven't been listening the whole time. I went back and I re-listened to Hillary, and I re-listened to myself, and then I listened to the talk after that, and then I listened to Ginny and Greg talking about Hillary. I kind of was interested in the whole Hillary thing because that's what I related to.
Yeah.
So I haven't listened on, but I went back and re-listened, and it was like I had never heard it the first time.
Of what? Which one?
Any of it. It's like
you mean the Hillary?
The Hillary and my talk with you. It's like I don't even remember it. I had to go back and re-listen.
This is Katie. This is the interesting thing about acoustic space. We expect that from Ion or McLuhan or something, but you can even find either it's the nature of the information. It seems acoustic space never seems familiar.
No. And it definitely affected me when we were having the conversation and when we were listening, and I thought I heard things, but when I went back, it was far richer and deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
This is the effect of the instant replay, which McLuhan said was the most profound metaphysical thing happening. It's the tape recording and then the video instant replay. Either one, to hear things over again, no one's ever had that ability known in known history, right? So it's a whole new thing to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's radically different when you do Ion, but even, you know, mundane conversations are, well, maybe it's because it's conversing with me.
It is, for sure.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm going multi-level all the time, so I'm up there with Ion.
You are. I think it's even more so, to me anyway.
Right.
And I was on both times when Ion was on, so that was really cool. The first time I was on, and then the second time Matthew went on Facebook and told everybody that they were back. So I called in. I didn't unmute, but I was able to hear, and that was enough.
So that was great, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing, yeah. And so now I'm here in the airport watching everybody look at their iPhones.
Yeah.
And schlep their chemical bodies around.
Yeah, they don't have profound content on their iPhone.
No, they don't. Candy Crush. Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this archive is... Now, you're surprised that I'm on since I began, is what you're saying.
Especially when I consider everything that I have gone through personally while you've still been just chugging along.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people
Does
are
that
digressing.
Make sense?
Yeah, people spin off, go down a tributary river, establish empires and buildings and school systems, and then they come back and Bob's just still going along up the mountain.
Right. And I've had, like, at least three aspects of myself die. I've had funerals and buried them and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And I'm excited to be around my family in a few hours because I'm so different. So it'll be interesting to see how I show up.
Right, right. And how
for everyone.
They see what they see.
Right. And to try to explain to my sister what it was like to get to talk to you and to be able to speak intelligently and to have followed Hillary doing that, because that was really profound for me. I don't want to criticize her because I really did like her. I know that a lot of people were criticizing her, and I wonder if she knows that all that talking was going on after she hung up. And
she might be told by one of her followers that, you know, at some point they heard, because it was surprising. Some of the women really were repulsed by her. I didn't get that kind of extreme thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could identify with her, so I'm not going to disrespect where I was, you know, but it was right. neat for me, and I think she's younger than me. I think Hillary's younger than me, but it was neat to have her have all of her, you know, writing her article to send off to Paris after reviewing that manuscript at Yale, and have me just sitting here, you know, a middle-aged housewife in Lynchburg, and fare as well intellectually. I think I fared as well in Lynch, because she's a smart woman.
Yeah,
she has a very good life for herself. She's cut out a good life for herself. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, I really liked her.
I found Ion talking about the Voynich manuscript. I told her, and she's waiting for the link, so I'll be sending it to her.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I sent that Facebook post that Ginny and Greg read. I listened to their portion at like, it was later in the evening after I hung up. And I heard that you guys had discussed her Facebook post, which she did go and write immediately. I mean, that was up within, she was writing that while I was talking to you.
Did you hear what happened after? The other two women, what happened to them?
I looked on dupes. Didn't some psychic woman call in and she got all pissy and hung up or something like that?
Yeah, one did, but there's two others. They came in and engaged and ran away. Like Hillary's just drama number one.
Wow, I'll have to go and listen.
Yeah,
but I was so into what happened to me, which I'll admit, that I just had to go back and re-listen because it was so amazing. It was just incredible.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm the only guy left, and you women are fascinated by, you know, how you do against my my unique perspective.
It's your prowess.
What? What?
Against your prowess.
That's right, yeah.
Right, you know, it is.
You half identify with Hillary, but then you say, no, there's a new level I can learn, and Hillary doesn't know that, you know, so complicated. Let's see, it's a way of exploring Dobbstown.
But I still think that I can learn some stuff from her, too, and I'm going to read that article that she wrote, and I looked up that artist that she mentioned that she has the 22 connection with. Do you remember talking to her about that? And he is this, I should send you a link to his Facebook page. He is this big, hunky, he's probably 6'7", I would guess from his pictures, and 270 pounds of just solid, very manly, gorgeous, with long, flowing hair, like a Fabio meme.
Right.
But more rugged and artsy. So,
right.
I think
but you know
some
what
cool
was neat
people.
About that? What was neat about that is I created the 22 thing. I just said, hey, you must have a 22, and it turned out to be true. I was psychic and dowsing on that point.
Right. Right. I just hope that she does feel like engaging, and I wish Hillary would even join Dupes, and I hope that all the bitchy things that the other women said about her doesn't turn her off from the whole thing, because she really didn't know coming in.
None of them knew.
This is all, people are...
Well, see, I'm not out to protect her. If these women think she's phony, then get on Dupes or phone in and have them tell Hillary if they want to. They may not want to, but tell Hillary that they think and see what Hillary says. I mean, she's a public figure. She got to take that kind of criticism.
Well, and that's fine. I'm totally sure she can handle it. I just don't want to do that because, number one, I like her. Number two, I just don't ever feel like getting into that with a woman again after I got into that with Kathy. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just like so over that. Like I can just, I don't, if people want to do that, that's totally fine. I'm not going to push against it. Maybe one day I won't even notice it. But right now, for sure, I would never take a swing at another female. You know, I just think.
So anyway. You would have done that. If you didn't have that experience, you would have taken swings at people. That was a dramatic change of your femaleness with
totally dramatic.
Kathy. Yeah.
Right. I'm so much more gentle now with myself and everyone.
I'm walking around here, and people are having train crashes all over the place. You know, this is the funny thing. The core person in Iondom, it's funny. All these side realities and blow-ups are happening in people's lives.
Right. The other thing that I loved that I went back and listened to, which I might have even missed in your initial listening with the conversation with Hillary, was when you were talking about your pomposity.
yes.
and how you were going to outplay. And it's like, it's so funny to listen to people take that as arrogance
yes.
when it really is just fact, you
yes.
know, and how you can kind of tease somebody that way and kind of rub against their arrogance a little bit, just kind of poke the bear somewhat. When
yeah.
you're, that's just truth. I mean, this is just the best stuff. And the other thing that I kind of was thinking of too is Hillary seemed to think that, you thought your way was the only way. And that was kind
oh,
of what
yeah.
her Facebook post was. And this isn't a way. This is a technology.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying don't read a book on your Kindle versus a paper book. I mean, we're just
yeah.
talking about another technology to massage it. So
yeah,
it was just interesting.
It's very complex. Very complex, the
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe on some level I'm saying it's my way, but there seems to be something else going on because we're having so much fun. We're not trying to be a fascist about it or something. We're having
fun
projecting our way.
Right. And then the other thing that I was thinking since we hung up, too, is I remember at one point Ion said, and this wasn't in any of the Purple transmission, but something that I'd listened to earlier, that there is no group of beings or people or anything that's, like, responsible for the evolution of humanity, specifically not the spiritual evolution of humanity.
Yeah, right.
And so I think it seemed to me from looking at some of Hillary's stuff, and I could be dead wrong, that she is kind of more in that. Like, some people on her Facebook were commenting on her beauty and stating that perhaps it was Pleiadian in origin. You know, that she... Right, so she kind of... And I don't know, because I have never talked to her. I don't want to make any assumptions. But she could be part of, you know, the genre or the meme of people who think that they're here to assist with the ascension of the planet
yeah.
in the third millennium, and that they have, like, a mission in that.
Light workers.
Yeah, light workers. And, you know, that,
yeah.
you explained it in when we talked, is just a retrieval of the patriarchy and the Bible, but done with Marianne Williamson talking about A Course in Miracles instead of Jerry
right.
Falwell and a Bible. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, I see Carolyn as a role model. Meanwhile, Carolyn's doing this amazing thing, and she's a little cute girl bouncing around, and she's not quoting the Bible. She's just, I don't know what she's doing, but she's different from everybody.
Yeah, and she doesn't have that competitive female thing.
Right,
Carolyn's very sweet.
Yeah.
Carolyn seems to really want the best for everyone, and
and can pull it off and actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not
a lot of empathy and compassion.
On top.
She's a quadruple Pisces, so that's a lot of sweetness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
She's like in between.
That.
She's a tomboy or mixture or something, even though she is, in the end, a sweet girl, a young-looking girl, so that's really what she is. But she's the one, the little sweet person, can live with Bob. Look, I'm actually quite irresponsible in my talking on the radio. You know, I get away with a lot. So she's pretty cool about that.
Yeah. Just you're bouncing around in the house could
yeah.
get annoying. Yeah.
What'd you say? My bouncing around the house could get annoying?
Yeah, it could.
Well, being on the phone for a long time. See, I'm on the phone all day long here listening to you, and so I have my cell phone and my earbuds in my ear, and then I'm trying to work and talk with my family at the same time, and so I'm on mute most of the time, and so I'm not explaining to them what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. I'm never on the phone. I don't call people. They don't call me. And when they do call me, I give the phone to my wife.
So what's
yeah.
happening? Your point is that you're like Carolyn. You're living with Bob over long stretches.
And my family has to put up with me like Carolyn's putting up with you, and they put up with me.
Right. But Carolyn doesn't have to put up with me.
This is out of the ordinary. No.
Yeah, she's a fun lover. She likes having fun.
Well, this is out of the ordinary for my wife to see me running around with a cell phone in my pocket.
Listening to Bob all day long, that's right.
Yeah, and not explaining to her what I'm doing.
That's odd.
I feel the same way. I'm not explaining either, and I kept going over and either turning you on the computer, or I felt like I was sneaking to listen any chance I got. I had to go get another hit. Got to run outside where they're not going to smell it and take a hit.
Yeah, take a hit. Yeah, that's right.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, what, your sister, she know about us?
Yeah, she does. This is the sister that has the talented nieces who have their music career. And
oh,
she's
Catholic.
Oh,
you're going to see the nieces. You're going to see your
nieces. Yeah, for a whole week. So my husband is staying home with all of our animals. Because when my sister and I go, it'll be like sister fest. I mean, we will talk for 7 days straight and laugh and giggle and have the best time. So I typically go on my own because even my nieces will be telling us to shut the fuck up after a couple of days because it's just too much. And then we kind of look alike and our voices are alike. So it's just crazy.
How much has she been involved with Aindem? You've got her listening to stuff?
No, she hasn't listened to anything, but I tell her everything. And she has watched me evolve through finding my first Jane Roberts book 20 years ago.
Right.
So she always listens, and she can grasp what I'm telling her. So I've told her about the drops, and I've told her about you, and I've showed her pictures of you, and I've explained your background and what you're doing and how you've helped me with my creativity, and talked to her about Ginny and when Ginny and Randy came for dinner and how excited I was for that. Like, I've told her it all as much
as
possibly
can. Right, so you're going to tell her this time about the Gutenberg Galaxy.
I am.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
It'll be really interesting.
It'll get out of the giggling thing because she's going to have to figure out what the hell you're talking about.
Right. Or she might just listen and hold a space for me to tell her and not, you know, care either way. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But she'll be happy for me for sure. But for sure be happy for me.
So the nieces know a bit about this.
Yes. And when they were little and I was more new agey, I would do meditations with them and stuff, and they used to call it Annie Katie's relaxation. And rub crystals on their foreheads and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been the weird, the weird aunt. So they'll be ready for more weirdness.
So you're at the airport right now, waiting to get in.
Yes. And everybody said the weather was going to be terrible, and I said there can be terrible weather everywhere, but there will be a strip of clear weather right around my airplane.
And that's what's happening.
I'm getting there on time, no problem.
Really good. Okay, so let me select something to play.
Okay.
And you'll hear some of it, and then you'll disconnect, right?
And then I'll disconnect, and then I probably won't talk to you for the rest of BobFest, so I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated what you've done.
Good.
And I think I get the impact of what it is that you did, and I'm sure it will continue to be more and more clear to me as I listen more and days go by, but it's just amazing. Like, I could well up with tears and cry. I could.
Right, yeah.
At your generosity, so thank you.
Yeah, do you know that we're going to end on Eben Show?
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Thursday morning at 2 Pacific Standard Time, so that's 5 Eastern Standard Time.
Well, maybe if I have insomnia one night, I'll just get up and call in and listen a little bit more.
Yeah, so the important point, the new information is we're going to end hovering over Los Angeles and, you know, gloating about what I did to the whole city.
You should gloat big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to play some more stuff.
Good.
So you need
that if you want to put something else on, I don't have anything else to say except for blubber on about how much I love you.
I know. Sugary vagina. I'll never forget your sugary vagina walls.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad. I'll never forget your Hershey walls.
Oh, Hershey. Okay. All right.
That's
so you'll be listening.
That's what people Did you know that's a joke, what people say about going in the back door? They call it the
Yes, I know
wall.
What you mean.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure you were up on that.
Yeah, yeah. but the you will be able to listen for the next 20 minutes.
I will.
Yeah,
I
well, I'll know that
will.
You're hearing. Whatever I play now, I'll know you're hearing for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot
All
for
right.
appreciating. Thank you for appreciating
All right,
me.
Sweetheart. Oh, thank you for being you. Thank you for being Bob. Praise Bob.
Yeah. And try to expose a lot of me to your nieces.
Oh, I definitely will be talking about you a lot, and I'll be putting drops under everybody's tongue.
That's great. Okay, talk to you later.
Okay. All right, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so anybody else come in? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
Okay, anybody else?
So picture the scene, Bob. The lady gets to the plane. She's waiting for the plane for 20 minutes. And she looks in the bookstore, and there's a big cardboard kind of cutout of Carolyn Dingo and the Magnesium Miracle. And then she gets on the plane, and she sits on the plane, and she's waiting. She thinks, oh, the people are doing the jackets and they're showing the things. I'm going to read the magazine. She opens up the magazine, and then Bill's there talking about planes and... You know, on page 7 or something like this, Bill's talking about planes, and at the bottom it's like, oh, cheap radio. And then you get on the plane and you're sat next to somebody and they're like, oh, what are you listening to? And it's like, I'm listening to the Bob Show.
That's your vision?
That's what I want to share with, yeah. But also, I also want to say well done for thinking about the closing, because Radio 4 were just covering Strange Fruit, you know, Strange Fruit, the song, and she always ended with that song, Strange Fruit,
right,
with the lights dimmed down, and it's shining on her face, and, you know, always the same thing for years after in her career.
That's
and it
right.
went through the history of the Strange Fruit song as well. Is it from Alabama? Written in Alabama?
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm going to find a... Well, you can talk to Denny. You guys talk to Denny for a minute while I find my selection.
Hello.
Yeah, Robert and Denny. Talk to Denny, Robert.
Denny.
Yeah, so we got to find something we have in common here. So you live where? And what do you
I'm in Tottenham. I'm in North Tottenham. I've done a lot of stuff in my area over the years with the community. So, you know, where we'd have meetings and we'd look at the constitution. And the great thing about Tottenham was, which I really enjoyed the meetings, was the town mayor was... he's from New York, so he was a policeman in New York, and he was the main person on the meeting, and I'd just sit there and listen and help and do the IT. But I kind of missed that because they shut us down. You know, circumstances happen, like this thing with Japan, for example, with the explosion of the. The explosion of the thing, and his wife is from family live in Japan, so they had to go. My excuse was my father died at the time, so I couldn't go to the meetings, and then they closed us down. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment.
What kind of meeting was that?
Years ago.
What kind of meeting? What was
that
meeting?
Yeah, you know, where you just talk about car parking in the area and took the police
community meeting.
Make an appearance, and we'd go around and inspect the, every now and then, once a year or so, we'd go around the whole estate and just say hello to everybody. It was a good feeling. It's just great to be part of the community.
So, yeah, that's in Scotland. What you said, so I can picture Scotland in my mind. So what portion of Scotland were you? What area?
Right in the middle of it, on the high roads, on the main stream. Right next to the police station.
So now I'm trying to get the topography of the area. So Scotland gets a lot of rain.
You might have seen it through the television, through the riots. So where the actual riots began, that's exactly where I am.
I don't even know what riots.
I don't pay much attention to the television.
I'm not a media person.
Oh, really?
No, I don't. Really? I don't watch TV. I don't even have a TV.
Do you listen to the radio?
No.
Are you a blogger?
I'm Bobby in Neanderthal.
Are you a creator? Are you creativity?
Just things that I need to do and fix around the house and
you're DIY. Are you on YouTube?
No, I don't do that. I don't make little movies of myself. I don't explain myself. I just like if I needed to fix the bathroom because it needed fixing, so I retiled it and fixed it that way. So I did it. So
what about the electric and stuff like that? Are you quite competent with that?
I can do that, yes. And also, my wife wanted a covering over the back area of the house, like an awning, and so I put that together. So I do things like that. And so, but I don't need.
Did you say ironing?
I do go to YouTube to look at do-it-yourself things, so that I can get an idea how to do it, because I had never tiled a floor or a wall before, so I needed to know the basics and what was the most long-term way to do it. So you have to.
What, you tiled your floor or your walls or your floor?
I got the shower, the entire shower. And the walls and the
and
floor.
Did you use the mesh version or was it with matchsticks?
No, I tiled it with the ceramic stone tiles. You have to usually walls have sheetrock on and you don't want that up, so you take that down and you put backing board on and backing board on the walls. For the walls it has to be a certain thickness, and for the floors, it doesn't have to be as thick. And so you tack them up the way you a certain way to nail them up against the wall, and use the screws for it. And you just go like we have here. We have a Home Depot. Do you have Home Depot or? For your,
no, what is Home Depot?
It's a building supply. Lowe's, it's a building supply. So if I want to go down and buy raw 2x4s, 2x6s, you know, like on the back porch, I needed to, I wanted 2x6, 12 foot long. I was going to put a 12 foot extension on the back of the house. And then I wanted to a clear PVC roof so that the sun came in, and so I go
to
a building.
You've done all this by yourself, or did your wife help you?
Yeah. No, I did it.
Everybody.
No, I do things that I can do by myself, so I can do it, and then I study different architectures. If I had to do it by myself, what would I have to do? And so then I have a grandson. That
do you get all your neighbors, your friends from the past, and the you know from your kids' friends, and you hire all people that you know to do certain things as well? So you're kind of keeping everyone busy.
I think he's 21 years old, maybe 22. Grandson that come around and he needed some extra money, so I didn't. I just watched him.
Was he competent in what he was doing, or did you just have faith that you could teach him what to do?
I just assumed that he could do it,
And I showed him a little bit, and then I let him do it. I didn't care if he did it the way I wanted to do it or not. I just let him do it. I was there more or less to talk to him and interact with him. And he did quite well. And I told him, you know, I can do this, but I will if you're not here. But since you're here, why don't you do it? And so he did.
It's a great way of reinforcing what you just learned on YouTube as well, isn't it? You know, you do it one time, and then you can do it even more. What's your background? Have you worked in kind of this sort of thing all your life? Or
I always make up jobs for myself.
So you're not job man.
I don't have a job. As I started out in my youth, I looked at ways that I could try to make quite a bit of money, but I didn't have.
Oh, you're an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur,
yeah.
Danny.
Yeah. So I at one point I decided to make some furniture, and I drew up some designs and discovered some ways to do it, and so I tried to then take those particular pieces of furniture. I called my I entered them in certain
what influenced you to do furniture, Danny? Am I right in saying Danny?
Yes, Danny is my name. That's my name.
You know, what influenced you to do the furniture? Is it the people around you that kind of, you could see that basically they would love these items of furniture that you're going to design? Did you already know who you were making the furniture for? That's what I'm kind of, I mean,
sometimes,
what made you chose?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I would make it and then just go sell it. And where I was in one little town, I made it. It was a type of tourist town, but not really a tourist town. And it was a pass through town where tourists went by us, and I would just stick some of my furniture out by my shop, and then people would stop and.
Oh, you had a shop? You had a shop?
It was something like.
Location was, what was the location? Was it location, location, location?
No, it was a small building that was tall by 15 feet, and so it wasn't big at all. And so it's just been adjusted to make furniture. It was a small thing, and
is it a small town where you live, so word of mouth gets around pretty quickly, or?
Yes, and I studied the marketing of it, and I realized that there was only going to be a certain number of people in that area that was going to buy my furniture. And
you were doing direct mail as well? You were kind of...
No, I did not do it. I went to trade shows. I went to...
Wow! And did you manage to joint venture with some people who take your leaflets and advertise for you?
No, it wasn't. I didn't do that. I just showed them, and I was after a longer term situation. I was just more or less prototyping my business. So I looked at the marketing side of it, because once you make it, you have to market it, and if you don't market it, there's no sense making it other than letting the rain on it. So I understood that. There was only going to be a certain number of people in my area that was going to buy my type of furniture. I either had to change the style of furniture and maintain that type of lifestyle, or extend my area. So I made my furniture so that I could ship it really easy. And at that time, it was cheaper to.
When you say ship it, do you mean to other furniture shops, or actually to...
Yeah, somebody would drive by my place, and they're on vacation, and they're from Colorado, and they headed to, say, Glacier Park. And I'm like, well, I like that. And I said, well, I can package this up and ship it to you.
And so they'd buy it, and I would ship it to them when they got home.
Now, the Colorado's the Rockies, isn't it? You've got all the Red Mountains, and it's on Microsoft homepage.
And at that time, I was living in Montana. It was a Rocky Mountain area.
Great. I've got a friend in Montana. He was delivering pizzas. He's doing teaching with kids and stuff. So Montana. There's a lot of good marketers in Montana as well. So did you go to a lot of coaching events where they tell you how to sell your furniture better, or were these kind of trade shows where you'd go with your furniture to showcase them?
You go there with the idea of meeting people to see if that's... I went to a San Francisco furniture mart where manufacturers throughout the country go to sell and get the representatives of different furniture go. I went there a couple times so that I would see if my furniture was viable. There's a couple markets there. There was a market for interior decorators that are looking for unique items, and then I would then make it, and I'd also have pieces for sale that they only thought, and they'd pick it up and buy it, or I would say, what do you want, and then I would design something for them, I also looked for a way where I was going to mass produce it, so this one right here, I could do a design that was easy to mass produce, but yet it was sturdy.
Okay, guys.
Most were chairs. Hey, Jack, are you back?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
So okay. That's fascinating, Danny. That's really, really. How many years did this last for? How many years did you? Are you still doing it now?
No, I don't do it now.
What time period are you talking about your life? Because you know it's difficult to do sales and market. Was it 10 years? 5 years? 20 years?
I don't really recall right now because I don't really. Pay much attention to time.
Excellent. You're definitely on the Bob Show. Brilliant.
Okay, great. Guys,
Thanks, Danny. That's brilliant. Colorado.
Okay,
no,
I'm muting
Montana.
You. Okay, I'm
all right,
muting you guys. We're going
Go for
forward.
It.
All participants are now muted.
Now I'm going to identify Marshall. We can find Marshall McLuhan easily, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm interested in his relationship with Wyndham Lewis.
Yes.
You have him?
He was born in 1882, November 18, in Nova Scotia, in Amherst. This is Wyndham Lewis.
Yes.
Died in 1957.
Yes, we have this one.
Now, the relationship between him and Marshall was very crucial for Marshall's life.
Yes.
But in his writings, he kind of reconciled the ideas of Lewis with Joyce and came out saying Joyce had the more relevant view. Could the Evergreens add some light on the relationship of Lewis and Joyce? Because apparently Joyce referred to Lewis in his book, Finnegan's Wake.
There are several references. So, first of all, to understand Lewis. Lewis more saw the greater scale, but the as McLuhan pointed out, this is all well and good to show the greater scale, but if you cannot take the greater scale down from it macro to its micro and to its direct application in the movement of societies from point A, point B, point C, point D, point E, so on, there are vast chunks missing from this. So possibly that Lewis's overview is but an extension of the past. Now, Joyce saw Lewis's approach. The words here to say they're dictatorial, but that is not exactly correct. good. Adamant is not exactly correct.
Harsh?
No, this is more the truth. Inflexible would be more of a coverage from Joyce. Joyce looked at, because Joyce understood inflexibility, understood this. Juno and the Peacock show this, that the inflexibilities of certain systems and individuals who join certain systems.
You said Juno and the Peacock, what's that?
Look up that story.
Oh, Juno and the Peacock?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Joyce didn't write that.
No.
Yeah. So Marshall realized that Joyce was more able to understand the flexibility needed under the new electric technologies?
Was to understand that if there's going to be flexibilities, that you cannot have the imposition of a system without flexibilities within the system, otherwise the system would crack.
Oh, so that the use of the pun and the way he wrote Finnegan's Wake allowed the reader to input many kinds of responses to what Joyce was writing.
Yes. Yeah. That is the matter of flexibilities. Because Joyce understood inflexibility. McLuhan, on the other hand, said it was all well and good to have that macro, but where does the micro come into position? How does the person ascertain within the macro his position as a micro?
He said that to Lewis and Joyce?
No, to Lewis.
Yeah. Was this a conversation, or did he think that after Lewis went back to England, or did he get to challenge Lewis in person?
Well, talked with him, but it was not a challenge.
He hadn't really formulated it.
He formulated it later in his own thinking. Formulated it later, yes.
And that's why he favored Joyce in the end.
Yes.
How much did his Marshall being converted to Catholicism favor himself in relation to Joyce, favored Joyce over Lewis?
Not to a great extent.
His writings on Joyce and the Catholic aspect of Joyce are very interesting. Was he right in the way he saw that Joyce satirized the secret Gnostic traditions, the Freemasonic traditions?
You see, Joyce's view of flexibility and inflexibility, that with that, Marshall could see this. Is that the words we have from Marshall is the Joyce the flexible, Joyce the inflexible. Those are his words describing him. Joyce the flexible, Joyce the inflexible.
There were two.
What he is saying is that he was inflexible about his flexibility.
Inflexible.
About his flexibility. Some things do not have great flexibility. Any serious researcher can show you this. But Joyce was somewhat inflexible.
So Lewis and Joyce were inflexible in different situations?
Yes, different aspects of the word. And that McLuhan could see.
And is Marshall there talking now through you?
We have contact with that individual, yes.
Is there something he would like to point out to his disciples, students like myself, and de Kerckhoff and various other people, and Carolyn? What are we missing in communicating what he would like to be said today, if there is anything? Is there any advice he could give me or any of my associates who are familiar with his work?
Yes, look very closely at the subsystems and realize that the subsystems that come from a macro are inflexible.
The subsystems are inflexible.
Yes. And oftentimes because of this, the subsystems must die. The greater macro go on, slowly changing, the subsystems as eddies. Inflexible.
Right. Is there any advice you would like to give Barrington Nevitt in his work to promote Marshall's work? Should we locate Barrington Nevitt? Do you need to do that?
Is he in Toronto?
He lives in Toronto.
Okay. Barrington Nevitt, where would he be?
Lives on Clarendon Avenue. I think it's 2 Clarendon in Toronto, apartment 207.
And his age?
He's going to be 80 in a couple of months.
Okay. Barrington Nevitt, N-E-V-I-T-T?
Yes.
Okay. Can you locate Barrington Nevitt in Ontario and Toronto? In Clarendon, number 2, unit 207.
Clarendon.
Clarendon, excuse me.
Yes, we have this one.
He's very doing. I like to help him in his work. Does Marshall have any advice for what Barry's doing? Does he support Barry's writings on his work?
First, he support 100%. He says he supports 100% when Barrington realizes that McLuhan meant exactly what he said.
Yeah, that's what Barry realizes.
Yes.
And Marshall appreciates that.
Yes, very much so. But also he says that, like the caterpillar, he says that a word means exactly what he wants it to mean. He meant what he said, but a word means what he meant it to mean. McLuhan himself spent a considerable amount of time editing his work, fighting for the right word. And oftentimes fighting with his publisher and publishers when they would say, no, if you would do this, and he'd say, no. Keep that word. Take the blood out of my wrist if you want, but keep that word. It means specifically what I want it to say.
It seems the accuracy of Marshall and his use of his words in the theme of creating certain effects, that because we have an information overload environment, that it was necessary to use to do more with less.
Ah, yes.
More with less words. That's
yes.
What he...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You can't extrapolate much from what he said, but realize he chose those words and chose them and fought to have them published as this. Fought.
But how does Marshall, he did say that the Christ was the ultimate extension of man.
Yes.
The ultimate man. How much of his work was symbolically related to his Roman Catholicism? You know, is that an issue that should be thought about more? Or do I have a pretty good understanding of
it? You have a good understanding of it. You see, you do not wish to repudiate Christ, but to understand the concept of. A few understood that. And realize, as Marshall himself put it, how do you say? Catholicism for himself provided an answer that he could perceive nowhere else.
It wasn't an artistic stance.
No.
It was a very personal choice.
It was a personal choice. Because he could not find elsewhere what he sought.
But so much of his writings are a perfect symbol for that personal choice, it seems to me.
Yes.
His idea that the stages of apprehension are mined collectively by our technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a very important idea.
Yes.
And it shows how Christ is the incarnation, and that we now have a collective incarnation under the electrical, mystical body of Christ he used to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There is a favoritism to me to the Western metaphor.
Because that was the metaphor that could be understood.
Oh, I see. That's the audience he addressed.
Exactly.
Well, what about Gnosticism, though, as if he predicted it would increase more and more in the world, the favoritism towards that concept, that idea of the Gnostic sort of hatred of existence and longing for another dimension. How how should one, how would he approach that today, the rampant spread of the Gnostic ideas?
He would approach it from the perspective of the loss of will.
Right, that's the result of the electromedia. Yeah,
and the trying to reclaim will through Gnosticism.
He would still be critical of that.
He would be critical of it.
And do the Evergreens see that as a viable position to offer a public, a perspective for them? Or is this only idiosyncratic to Marshall's view, the way things are?
More idiosyncratic. But there is still that evidence that in the trying to reclaim will, what does a person choose? You see, oftentimes in the reclaiming of will, it is oftentimes the interaction of system versus system. So which is the system to choose? But as pointed out, the systems are there for those who believe that systems are necessary. So what system replaces what system?
And I don't think that can be resolved. That will not happen under... Every system will have its avenue of expression, it seems to me.
Yes. Well, what is that avenue of expression?
It's the diversity of the electric culture.
As you point out, the diversities produce subsystems, and subsystems are inflexible.
What's an example of a subsystem?
A very good example of a subsystem would be Baptists.
Thank you. I'm a Baptist.
Yeah, so if we understand that. Now, how flexible are Baptists? Well, and if you take yet another division, and that is revelational Catholicism. Revelational Catholicism, which is not a great group, but there is a certain amount of that. And to a revelationist who was the Catholic base, there can be no movement of man until there is a revelation of God. Now, that in itself is an inflexibility.
Okay, one last sentence. Should we end soon, Evergreens?
Yes,
all right, one last question. The Ohio auto worker, Demjanjuk,
yes,
has been accused and is on trial in Israel. What is he, the Nazi criminal, you know, the man in the concentration camps, whatever charges are directed at him?
The question is he guilty of the charge that is placed to him? And is he the man? And we say, Ikhomo, he is the man. And yes, he is guilty as charged. And he knows this.
But there's an old fashion that will protect him, and he's hoping on that part. He's relying on some kind of protection to keep his bluff going?
Yes. The bluff is beginning to fall down. It has fallen down and fallen down and fallen down.
And those documents that he is using to defend his side, have they been forged, created to help him?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. It's been an enjoyable talk, Evergreens.
Well, here is something that you do not know. And that is that whenever there was a Nazi identification, if you belong to any organization, but each and every document identifying the individual, such as his identity book, pay book, would have something that would distinguish it from other pay books. But they would say that his pay book is different than other pay books is exactly correct, but so are all other pay books. If you put five pay books side by side, you will find that they differ. In each instance, there would be a difference. That is how the authenticity was kept. Because if someone forged a document and it was exactly the same as another document, then obviously it's a forgery. That is how many of them were caught, and that is one of the secrets of World War II that is not common knowledge. Barely a handful of people know it.
Well, thank you very much.
Do you have a final comment for Bob or Carolyn at this time? Anything they didn't ask? They
They would ask later.
Okay.
And we do thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So unless there's any...
Sitting in a breakfast room in Allentown, Pennsylvania. 6 o'clock in the morning. Got up too early. It was a terrible mistake.
Been given by the Evergreen.
Sitting there face to face with a 75-cent glass of orange juice about as big as my finger and a bowl of horribly foreshortened corn flakes. And I said to myself, this is the life. Try to grow a mustache. Just like you had true religion, boy.